works.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
It's interesting, ladies and gentlemen, that when Chris said the Paracast, I don't know if you heard it, but this very loud motorcycle passed us by at our studio. There you go. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're back with the Paracast with Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO, and Tim Schwartz. Tim number two, or the other Tim, welcome back to the show. It's been, what, 5 years since we had you on before? Tell our listeners how you got into this. Why are you writing stuff about the strange, the unknown?
Oh, my goodness. Well, like a lot of other people, like yourself, Gene, and Mr. Beckley, I got into this when I was a kid, though actually I was drug into it, kicking and screaming. When I was a kid, I had no interest in UFOs, the paranormal, or anything like that. Living in Indianapolis, Indiana, I was interested in race cars. That's the Indianapolis 500. That's what I was into. Well, this probably took place what in the middle 1960s. There was a small UFO flap going on in the United States. Our classroom assignments, I think I was around in third grade, was we were each given a newspaper headline, and we were to do a stand-up report on it. Naturally, as luck would have it, or fate intervene, however you want to say it, I got a story about flying saucers. And so, I did my reports, presented it in front of the class. From that day on, I was the flying saucer guy, and I was the guy who believed in Martians and, little green men and all that. You know how kids are. I mean, they're always trying to find something on you. So I was the flying saucer guy. Here comes Tim. He believes in flying saucers. But the funny thing about it was that as they would make fun of me to my face later on when nobody else was around, people would come to me. Kids would come to me and say, well, my family and I, we saw this strange light in the sky. And that's what started piquing my interest in this phenomena, is that people would joke about it and, blind saucers, little green men. And then they would turn around when nobody else was around and say, well, I saw such and such. I saw a UFO. And that's how it started for me. The personal reports from people that really got my interest and what really got me going. And in fact, that's where I've kind of specialized over the years, is doing or finding these people who have had these experiences but don't want to talk about it. You're not going to read about them in the newspaper or see them on the 6 o'clock news. But they want somebody to talk to them about. They want a validation that the experience that they had was real, that they're not crazy or seeing things, something like that. And, a lot of times, their relatives, these people's relatives will contact me and say, I have a brother-in-law who had an unusual experience and he's got nobody to talk to. Would you talk to him? And that's where it's gone from there. Not so much, the nuts and bolts aspect of the phenomena, but more the personal experiences. And like I said, especially the personal experiences of people who don't want to talk about it. I would say that probably out of all of the UFO reports that we hear about in the media or on the internet, there's probably, that's probably like 5%, maybe less, of all the actual UFO and then the subsequent sideline experiences that also go along with the phenomena. You'll never hear about those parts of it. You'll never hear those reports because these people don't want to talk about it. They're afraid to talk about it.
What you're describing, Tim, sounds like the whole first phase of modern ufology was basically, a grassroots kind of network of people hearing about sightings and finding out that there are people out there that are interested enough and non-judgmental enough to go ahead and refer their friends or their relatives to a person like yourself or Tim or Gene. How do you think the internet is changing that today? I mean, I see major changes myself. Is this a change for the better, or do we have to deal with even more noise within the signal?
Well, certainly the internet has introduced a lot of, as you say, noise to the edge. There's a lot of static. The water has been muddied quite a bit. Before the internet, most of the way that people communicated was, either by, letters, writing, writing back and forth each other, or UFO magazines, which, there's not too many of those anymore. And a lot of times, I would say that the internet has really introduced the easy hoaxer, so to speak, because a lot of people can introduce UFO videos or photographs or stories anonymously without a shred of truth or verification. I mean, as you well know, it's so easy nowadays to Photoshop a UFO image.
Yeah, UFO photos and videos have become almost worthless. I mean.
And videos as well. It used to be, have a good UFO film, back when people still had the Super 8 millimeter cameras. You could tell the difference between somebody hanging a frisbee on a string in front of a camera.
Oh, let's not bring Gray Barker into this. Go ahead.
and something that's really actually up in the sky. Nowadays, just go to YouTube and you can see that there's a plethora of, absolutely, really, extremely well done CGI videos of UFOs. And a lot of times, these are done, by kids on their on their computers using the easily accessible software. So yes, the water has been muddied quite a bit.
The water's always been muddy in this field. I mean, you had your straight letters, you had your fake UFO photographs, you had your clowns from outer space. I mean, it hasn't changed. It's become more widespread. I mean,
yes.
Obviously, I mean, now when you get a good YouTube video like the one in Jerusalem, a million and a half people have seen that, and it's been on the on the regular news, and we think it's fake. And in fact, it turns out, and I don't think most people know this, that the two different images, or maybe there's up to four now, but the main one was taken by a fellow who does film for a living. I mean, he makes low budget movies, and it turns out that the other crew were people that work with him. I think he taught film. He teaches film or something. It turns out that the other series was taken by some of his students, but they claim that they didn't hoax it or know that the other one was taking the photos. It was just a synchronicity. And you might say, well, that's a terrible lie. But you know something? Synchronicity plays an awful big part in UFOs. I've had some synchronicities that you just can't explain. They are well beyond coincidences. There's something about UFOs and synchronicity that is just not...
All right, Tim, sorry, you raised the specter of synchronicity.
Yeah.
And we had Mike Cleland, who was talking about synchronicity, on a couple of episodes of the PowerCast. We don't have much time with this particular segment, but could you start us off on synchronicity?
Okay, well, let me tell you a couple of synchronicities, right? Now, I don't
meaningful
know what
these
mean.
By the way.
I don't know what this what they mean, but there's something. Okay, I was giving a lecture in San Francisco. This goes back. I don't know if you remember Dale Redding. He was one of the teenagers. Well, one year he ran the Congress of Scientific Ufology, the UFO group that Jim started, and of course there were rotating sponsors, promoters of the different shows. So he rented a very nice size hall in San Francisco, and I remember there was even a balcony, probably about 300 or 400 people there, and I went out and made a presentation, had a slide lecture, gave my talk, stayed for a few days, very congenial host, and a lot of nice, members that were into the subject. We spent some time together. Well, I had a flight back to New York on a Sunday. Had some time to kill. So we decided around 11 or noon to go out and have brunch. So we were in the heart of San Francisco. We picked a place at random. I had never been to San Francisco before. My host had never been to this particular restaurant, but it looked nice and clean, and we wanted a Bloody Mary and a beer, and so we decided to have our eggs Benedict there. Went inside, and we were just chatting away, and I happened to mention, I said, with a little bit of foresight, I should have called some of the people that I knew in New York that moved out to the West Coast to have them come to my presentation. And I happened to mention this fellow that I always was very fond of. He was the editor of Psychic magazine, which was
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of that in a moment. We have Tim Beckley, Tim Swartz, the co-host is Chris O'Brien, I'm Gene Steinberg, you're in
The Paracast.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99. And every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Dr. David Berry has provided excellent advice for all those interested in practical economics and sound money. It's certainly worth reading.
That's what Congressman Ron Paul said about Cha-Ching Wisdom, 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money, the new book by Dr. David Berry.
The cool part of this book, certainly it'll speak to you personally, your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things personally that we do as a nation.
Dr. Berry's book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, presents many facets of your relationship with the once almighty dollar and how current national and international politics affect your daily life.
Some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic. They're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Read Cha-Ching Wisdom by Dr. David Berry, only $9.95. Available at ChaChingWisdom.com. That's ChaChingWisdom.com. ChaChingWisdom.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We're back. Tim Beckley, Tim Swartz, synchronicity on the table. Gene and Chris here on the Paracast. Tim, pick up.
Okay, so I'm having a Bloody Mary with the promoter and his wife and a few friends, talking about how I should have called some of these people beforehand and perhaps invited them. And started talking about this fellow that I always enjoyed spending some time with. His name was Alan Vaughn. He had moved from New York, where he was a full-time psychic, and he lectured for our School of Occult Arts and Sciences. I said I should have given him a call, but I forgot to, and I don't know where he's living. I know he's in San Francisco editing this very prestigious magazine. 5 minutes later, this fellow walks through the door with his little dog on a leash, looks around, and I look at him, and I said, "Are you Alan Vaughn?" And he said, "Yes. Are you Tim Beckley?" And I said, "Yes, I am." I mean, what is the chance of when a San Francisco got 1,800,000 people? He had never been in this restaurant before. He came and sat down with us, and we had a good laugh about it. And I said, "Well, Alan, what are you working on these days?" He says, "I'm working on a book on synchronicity, and I guess this is going to be in the book." So if you could find his little paperback book, he's long since deceased, and you look for Case 17, you'll find this little episode about meeting this gentleman in the heart of San Francisco, totally unaware that I was in town and that he lived in the vicinity. How do you explain that? What does it mean? I don't know. Here's another one, Gene. I'll make it as quick as possible because we have a lot of things to discuss. I'm on the Long John Neville Show. The day after I'm on the program, I get a telephone call from a young lady who does a column for New York Magazine. It was the last thing in the magazine. It was called Best Bets, and it was a listing, like the top 10 restaurants, the top 10 whatever. Okay, she said, "I heard you on the Long John Show last night, and I want to do top 10 UFO sightings in and around Manhattan." And I said, "Oh, that sounds fine." And I proceeded to talk to her with my 20 cups of coffee for about a half an hour. I said, "Well, you know, okay, we've had this conversation. Let me mail you some of my bio material." Obviously, we didn't have the internet or anything. So I asked her for her address. And she said, "Blah, blah, 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 blah." And I said, "Blah, blah, 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 blah. But I'm at that address." She was on the sixth floor. I lived on the fourth. So I went up and I handed her the literature. And I said, "I just saved myself, obviously, a dollar in stamps." We became fairly good friends. It turned out that she was the first person to travel with the Dalai Lama. She wrote the first book on the Dalai Lama. She later died of a brain cancer, very tragic, very young age. She's a very talented gal. What's the chances that somebody hears you on the radio and they live two floors above you? Her story goes on to move ahead two decades, but it's long and detailed, but you kind of get the message here. There's something about synchronicity and UFOs, and I've talked to other people in the field, and they seem to have the same pattern, but not as many and is not as far-fetched as the ones that I have. In fact, when I write my life a story, that's going to be one of the chapters in the book, because there's something strange going on there. But I wish I could pick the lottery number or the right slot machine or something that would happen. But you know what it proves, if nothing else, is that there is an intelligence to the universe. I don't believe necessarily in God and the guy sitting on the throne. Or I'm not a very religious person at all. But there's something out there that tells us some pattern to what's going on.
You don't think it's just coincidence. You think there's a purpose.
Oh, come on. Is that coincidence? I've just told you two stories. I could tell you a dozen. I mean, a dozen that is just like, we're not just talking about running into somebody in the street or the telephone rings that and you haven't heard from that person. No, it's beyond coincidence. If you want to find out a little bit more about this, there was a gentleman who talked to dolphins. His name was Dr. John C. Lilly. He wrote about synchronicity. He believed that there was actually an intelligence that existed outside of our own, invisible to the human eye. You know, we all have some theories about this, gene, whatever you want to call it. He gave it a name, but he thought they were trying to prove their existence by creating these synchronicities in our lives. That was the way to show that there was some other intelligence outside of our own. I mean, he didn't look at it in a religious sense. He saw it as an invisible intelligence that was like kind of like fooling with us. You know, I kind of go along with that, except he was doing ketamine and I'm not, but that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Vitamin K.
Yeah.
You bring up a very interesting point, Tim, in that I that's the first thing that I look for when I am investigating some sort of case or doing some research, is I look for that synchronistic element, because to me, if it's there, then it gives me kind of my own little sort of private litmus test of credibility, because the more synchronicities you have involved in a case, I think the more likely they are to be to be real, and they should be taken pretty much at face value. And well, Tim Schwartz, how about you? Have you had these types of synchronistic experiences, and have you had validation in this sort of, I guess, way, shape, and form?
Oh, yes, definitely. Nothing quite as significant when it comes to, say, UFOs as some of the cases as Tim Beckley. But some of the things that I have noticed when it comes to my own field research into UFOs, and I know this is something that Tim Beckley has talked about as well, is that, you know, if I go out and I'm talking to, say, a family about their UFO experience, I will try to make an effort to talk to their neighbors or talk to people who live in the nearby town to try to find out if anybody else has had similar experiences. And I would say that probably, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'll get some additional stories, but I'll also get some rather bizarre stories as well. Along the lines of paranormal or unusual monster sightings, Bigfoot, other types of strange creatures. And then a lot of times people will just approach me just out of the blue and say, I saw a Bigfoot near such and such town, which just happens to be an area that I had been investigating earlier. But, you know, I don't publicize too much my investigations. You know, I try to work somewhat behind the scenes.
Yes, but you write so much material for Tim.
Yes, oh yes, oh yes, I definitely do. But, you know, you don't read a lot of my own personal investigations in the stuff that I write for Tim. The main reason is that most of the people that I talk to, they want to remain anonymous. And, you know as well as I do that anonymous reports, you know, they really don't, they don't carry much weight, at least for other UFO investigators, or for people who are trying to find that, you know, that connection, or those, you know, that big connecting element towards the reality of UFOs. So it's just more along the lines of gathering these cases, preserving the witnesses' anonymity, and you know, just trying to come up with some kind of connection.
Well, you bring up a good point. Are all these attendant type phenomena, or do you think they're connected? Do you think Bigfoot, crypto creatures, elementals, various haunting type phenomena, and UFOs, for instance, are connected, or do you feel that they're all sort of separate and just happen to occur separately, but somehow in a timely manner in terms of time proximity to one another? What are your feelings
before
about
we
this?
Get to that, before we have an answer, we have Tim Beckley, Tim Schwartz, Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space, and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral,
antiviral and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
The U.S. economy is at a tipping point. 40 cents of every dollar the government spends is borrowed. The president of the Federal Reserve in Dallas was recently quoted saying, "This path will lead to insolvency, resulting in the collapse of our government and our economy. Our country can't function like this, and neither can your household. That's why you need to prepare, and priority one is your food supply. Fortunately, it's easy and affordable with the help of Ready Reserve Foods. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storable foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available with a 25-year shelf life. A full year supply of quality food for two people costs a fraction of what you pay at the grocery store. For a free full-color catalog, call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Ready Reserve Foods, making preparedness simple since 1972.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Tim Beckley, Tim Swartz, Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Chris, you had posed a question. Do you want to follow up with further information, or let's get an answer?
Well, I think it's a pretty simple question. We do seem to see a lot of compartmentalization in the investigative field, or have seen this over the last, how many decades you want to go back. And I think we're all sensing that there's a kind of a move towards the thinking that there possibly is a connection between a lot of these divergent phenomena. What do you think, Tim Swartz? Are we looking at something that may have some sort of commonality, or are they all completely separate?
Well, you're exactly right when you talk about compartmentalization, and that's one of the things that has really irritated me over the years with a number of other researchers, is that they have a tendency to get themselves stuck in a mindset. UFOs are nuts and bolts craft from Zeta Reticuli. Bigfoot is a hominid, a physical hominid living in the woods. You know, there's no crossing the lines. I'm not going to investigate, anything outside of my belief systems because I know it's not true. And, I've always taken the philosophy that, you have to listen to the reports. You have to listen to what the people are telling you and to keep your own personal beliefs out of it, because belief is the enemy. But to really to answer your question there, Chris, I think that it does show, at least with my investigations, my research, and the research of others, there does seem to be and I'm going to use this word, for want of a better word right now, a paranormal aspect to certain kinds of UFO phenomena. Now, I'm not gonna sit here and say that UFOs are strictly all paranormal or UFOs are strictly all nuts and bolts spacecraft. I think that there's a good possibility that there probably are some UFOs that do represent extraterrestrial visitors. I've also tossed around the idea that UFOs could be time travelers, either from Earth's future or from an extraterrestrial relationship. But there's a lot of reports that smack right into the realm of the paranormal. You know, people will have what seems to be a mundane UFO sighting. You know, they see some lights in the sky, nothing too unusual. They go home, and the next day, their house is invaded by poltergeist. Or all of a sudden, you know, strange people, not necessarily the men in black, but, you know, along those lines, you know, come knocking at the door trying to sell them magazines, but all they want to talk about is UFOs and things like that. So yeah, I mean, there does seem to be some kind of a connection between these. What that connection is, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's been some pretty good investigation recently by Phil Imbrogno, who you've had on the Paracast recently, talking about the djinn and other types of paranormal types of entities that seem to fall very closely into, you know, these parameters that people are reporting of their own experiences.
Well, we did a book recently where we covered the dark side of ufology.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Round Trip to Hell in a Flying Saucer, UFO Parasites, Alien Soul Suckers, Invaders from Demonic Realm. In fact, we did a very nice interview with Chris that's in there, photographs that my friend Charlotte took while we were out at his palatial estate there in Arizona.
Palatial estate.
By the way, you should see his servants.
We had a wonderful...
Yeah, Gracie and Fred.
We had a wonderful...
And Ethel and little Ricky.
A wonderful afternoon and a great interview. And it's about the shape-shifting. We found out that not only we call them aliens, because what else do we call them, right? Aliens have the ability to shape-shift, right? But that the craft do themselves. In fact, in this book, Tim Schwartz has done a chapter that includes morphing UFOs. You know, on a lot of occasions, and I found this at first very stunning, that I couldn't believe it. People were describing objects to me that actually changed shape in front of their eyes. I remember talking to two teenagers, about 16, 17 years old. They had a close encounter in Staten Island. Now, this it gets away with the notion that only people living near swamps or in the farmland or in the middle of Sedona have UFO sightings, because UFO sightings are reported all over the world, including right here in Manhattan. Anyway, these two teenagers, I was a teenager once too, Gene, so was you. And,
I was never a teenager. I've always been as I am now.
Okay. Anyway, they described seeing this, object was a ball-shaped object. It started out as twice the size of a basketball, and it was coming down in between the trees. And in fact, we took photographs of this area where it had apparently touched the trees and burned them or knocked them down or whatever. Not the whole tree, but, you know, branches and stuff like that. I'd seen that many times before. It doesn't really prove anything. Could have been ball lightning. But I don't think so. It was in daytime, and it didn't usually ball lightning, as I understand it. Kind of just burns itself out or explodes, and very short-lived phenomenon. Well, this lasted quite a while. Anyway, as the object rose into the sky, it changed from this ball-shaped object into a cigar-shaped craft before heading out over Staten Island. Okay, I was writing for UFO Report at the time. That was the prestigious UFO publication put out.
This
by
was a magazine, by the way, where you actually got paid for your articles.
Oh, $500, Gene. I'm looking for a publication that'll pay $50 these days, you know. But anyway, as I went along interviewing people, I found more and more people describing these objects changing shape. I did an interview. In fact, this is my best abduction case. And it's not as well known as a Betty Barney Hill or some of the others, but there was a gentleman by the name of Carl Higdon. And this experience took place in Wyoming. Mr. Higdon, I believe he was in his 40s at the time, was an avid hunter. He had gone out in his truck, like a 4x4, you know, with an open hatch in the back there. And he had gone out hunting about 6 a.m. I don't know why hunters always start out early, but maybe the animals are half asleep or something. I don't know. But anyway, he started out at 6 a.m. to go elk hunting. He drove to an area that was a very just a grassy, like, knoll or glade, parked his vehicle because he saw some elk in the distance. Okay, he gets out of his truck, and he goes to, you know, move in on the elk and raises his rifle to shoot one of the elk that's off in the distance. At that point, just as he was about to pull the trigger, everything went dead around him, all the sounds of the ambient sounds of, you know, the sky and the air and the birds and the beast and whatever. It was like the world stood still. He managed to get off a shot at the elk. The bullet hit some invisible barrier or wall and fell to the ground. He actually, we did an article for a UFO report that was like 40 pages, but also it was a headline story in the Star because I was a stringer for the Star and the Inquirer at the time. Had the bullet and the casing, the bullet looked like it had been twisted out, inside out, right? Okay, so he sees this, while this is happening, and he's in like some zoned out state, like the Oz Factor, they refer to it in Australia, I know. He saw in the distance a craft. It was a box, a cube-shaped object. He said probably not more than 15 feet in diameter. Beside this object was a being, some sort of an alien being. And I asked him, well, he did a drawing for us. He wasn't a very good artist, but under hypnosis, I kind of get the point. It kind of looked like
we'll go into the being, Tim. We'll go into the being that he saw near this box-shaped craft.
Yes.
In our next segment, we have Tim Beckley, Tim Swartz. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey, neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with Organicaseed.com. Easy because Organicaseed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to Organicaseed.com, spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-C-A-Seed.com. Organicaseed.com. Remember, Organicaseed is healthy seed.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We're exploring a strange encounter involving an entity, a being.
Okay.
From Tim Beckley. Our Tim Swartz is here also. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Tim, we had to interrupt you there.
Okay.
But tell us more about what happened.
Okay.
What about this being?
Carl Higdon, he sees this cube-shaped object, a being standing in front. The peculiar thing about the being, he was kind of humanoid-looking, but he had hair like a punk rocker. It was like straw, you know, kind of just very blonde-looking and stood up in the, just very stiff. Okay, somehow he finds himself inside this craft. He didn't walk into it, but he materialized inside the craft. Now, when he got inside this craft, he realized this could not possibly have been the same craft that he was looking at from a distance, which was only 15 feet up and down in diameter, you know, because inside the craft, not only was there a full crew of these beings, but there were some of the elk that he was hunting, and they were in cages. Well, elks are pretty big animals, if you ever seen them, and I have. Anyway, it wasn't this 50. The cube had changed shape, or somehow the dimensions inside the craft were different than when they were on the outside. He went to some other place. They transported him to some place. He got out of the craft. He went into the building that kind of looked like the Space Needle in the Seattle, Washington, you know, left over from the World's Fair. They put him on a machine that was like a scale, but he could tell that it was doing measuring something else, you know, his bodily fluids, whatever, because this is part of the experience. And while he's on this machine, this looks like kind of a scale, you know, like you would put your quarter in the pharmacy or something and stand on it with the weights and the measures and all that. He happens to glance out the window, and he can see down on the street below, there are these beings traveling along on the mobile streets, like conveyor belts, you know, like you see in the airport, you know, where you get on, you don't have to carry your suitcase, you get on the conveyor belt and just let it take you where it's going or where you're going. He sees mingled in with these strange beings with the punk rock hair what look to be earthlings. And they're kind of just mingling in with society, with this alien society, and going about their business, whatever their business is. Finally, they're finished with the examination and whatever brief conversation they have. He finds himself back into his vehicle, in his truck, with the open hatch back. Now, before he got back down to planet Earth, they told him that they were going to transport him back into the truck. Well, he found himself in the truck, but the truck had moved. It had moved from the grassy knoll area back into a very marshy area. He managed to use his CB radio to call the police. Okay, and it was a little whacked out. I mean, his eyes were burned, and, you know, he was having a memory of problems and all of that. He managed to get off a call to the police. The police came. They could not move his vehicle out because it was in a spot where they said he could never have driven it. Now, I'm not taking his word at it. In those days, since Saga Magazine paid money and sold to the National Star, he had money to do actual research. He made long-distance calls and checked these things out, you know. So people who think that I'm sitting around making this stuff up, you don't have to make up stuff in ufology. It's all very strange and very weird. So those people who, you know, can take a tin cup and go out on the street who think that I have nothing better to do in life than make up UFO stories because these things are fascinating by themselves. Anyway, we called the police. Yes, they did have to tow the truck out. They had to put logs down, you know, cut logs and put them down, and it took two tow trucks to get his vehicle out of this marshy area. Okay, they took him to the hospital because, like I say, he was dazed and he was all burnt. They did x-rays on him. Well, he had had a kidney problem before this experience. Traces of the kidney problem were all cleared up. So you had the teleportation of the truck, you had the shell casing of the bullet being twisted inside out, and you had the medical examination proving that the scar tissue had disappeared. Now, that's a case you can sink your teeth into. It's not something under hypnosis. Now, he was hypnotized later on, but even without the hypnosis, you got the physical evidence. There aren't too many other UFO abduction cases that you can point your finger and say that.
You have your shape-shifting sort of part of the whole scenario as well, yes. Which is how you started out this story.
That's correct. Well, that is more and more cases like that where people are describing not only the craft changing shape, but the beings as well. In fact, we in the interview that we did for the round trip to Helena, Flying Saucer, also available on Kindle, that, you know, you pointed out like cases throughout history, even where shape-shifting apparently was, part of legend and lore and something accepted by other societies. I think if you would go back to Roman times, there was a case there.
The question I guess we'd raise here, the skeptical question is, when you see something change shape, is that your mind playing a trick on you?
Why do people have the same illusion? See, that's another thing about UFOs. People say, it was nightmares, or what is it, the hag syndrome, or there's always an excuse. But why would people see the same type of craft or go through the same experience? You know, you would think that you would see ugly birds or something. I mean, a giant insect instead of you see extraterrestrials. It doesn't make sense. There is something going on that is outside of any concept that we can understand. That's why I don't believe that UFOs are extraterrestrial. And people say, well, what do you believe? It's impossible to put it into words because I think we're dealing with something that is totally beyond our understanding. And I don't know if we will ever understand it. I mean, there may be a few crafts coming here from outer space. There could be some things that are projections. Richard Shaver talked about a lot of these sightings as actually being projections from the caves, that these objects were actually trying to shift or divert people's attention away from something else that was really going on. So while you were looking at, you know, the object in the sky, something else perhaps a little bit stranger, even more mysterious, like maybe cars coming out of the caves or something is going on 5 miles away.
So, well, you know, of course, Richard Shaver's an interesting case because we have what he said, and I knew Shaver, you knew Shaver, a lot of people
did.
And the question here is, of course, Richard Shaver says he encountered physical beings living within caves, yet there were also reports that Shaver had been institutionalized for a number of years.
Well, Tim Ass over there on the other side of the room, he's written a book on the Shaver mystery, and he's explored this. Perhaps he could chime in on Shaver because he's researched this and read a lot of Shaver's material.
Tim, that's a perfect lead-in for one of the questions here at forum.paracast.com from a new Paracast forum poster named Century. Mm-hmm. And Tim Ass, let's talk about Shaver here for a minute. Let's look at the question. He says, Shaver himself said he was a victim of the Dero's mind-altering rays. Could his story be Dero distorted memories of actual events? Interesting question. And here's it's about a three-parter. Without Ray Palmer, could there have been a Shaver mystery? If so, how would it have differed? And if Shaver's story hadn't come out until much later, let's say during the height of the contactee and abduction eras, for instance, how would it have been received?
Well, you know, here's an interesting thing. Before the yellow tip could talk, a lot of the contactees talked about the people inside the caves and Lemuria and Atlantis and people. I mean, there was a little bit of crossover there, although they didn't see him as being deranged as a Shaver and his bureau. Anyway, Tim, you go ahead with this.
Well, no, I just, you know, first of all, I want to address the part of the question that asked about Richard Shaver being institutionalized at various points in his life. I think that the evidence shows that he probably was, but you know, when they would institutionalize people back then, you know, nowadays, you know, we get Prozac or things like that. I don't know if that really should work to diminish his story any. The interesting thing I think about Richard Shaver is that, you know, his story is basically a modern retelling of the same kind of tales that have been with us since, you know, we've been, you know, here on this planet, that there is another race that lives underground with us. And in fact, you know, some ancient societies believe that our genesis came from inside the earth. I mean, you know, if we didn't come from the stars, then we came from the caves. And I think that Richard Shaver is, you know, was taking these stories and giving them a modern twist. Of course, you know, I mean, his stories came out initially in the early 1940s, but I mean, they've continued and perpetuated since that time. And you know, if we hadn't had the modern UFO era come about, which started in, you know, in 1947, even though we've had UFO reports from the beginning of time as well, we probably would be talking about the unknown creatures from the caverns. You know,
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more unknown creatures and lots more coming up. We have Tim Swartz, Tim Beckley. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien, and you're in
the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.